Father, we open up your word expectantly this day for the truth that you have for us to use and apply so that we might live to your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As a passenger boarded the Los Angeles to New York plane, he told the flight attendant to wake him up and to make sure he got off in Dallas. The passenger awoke just as the plane was landing in New York. Furious, he called the flight attendant and demanded an explanation. The fellow mumbled an apology, and in a rage, the passenger stomped off the plane. Boy, was he ever mad. Another crew member observed to her errant colleague, "If you think he was mad," replied the flight attendant, "you should have seen the guy we put off in Dallas." Anger. Anger. It's something that we've all been a part of, either the getting mad part or the receiving part, or both at the same time. But what about anger? What about it? Should it play a part in our lives? Is it sin? Is it wrong? Does it fit into life situations? How should we handle it? Anger is one of those things that can perplex us, and that's why we need a biblical understanding of it. Should a person blow up and get the pressure out, or should they clam up and just pretend to ignore the situation and internalize it? We'll get to these answers as we look into this emotion, and it's an emotion that God gave us. So anger is a problem for every Christian that we face from time to time. Sinful anger is probably involved in 90% of all situations that lead to serious problems, the need for counsel, or whatever. If not helped with and given guidance, biblical guidance for it, it'll lead to many serious, serious problems. Many divorces have been issued because of anger, ruined friendships, damaged families, damaged churches, work situations, and on, the list could go, because of anger. Our challenge is to see what God's answer for anger is, and then to put it to work in our lives. The problem with the wrong type of anger is that it is never just anger by itself. Anger doesn't stand alone, usually. It's anger and resentment, or anger and bitterness. It's one end coupled with it. But it's always, never separated usually, is anger and hurt feelings. They go hand in hand together. But like any emotion in the life of the Christian, in order for us to live daily, be able to deal with the things that go on in our lives, the Christian is to control their emotions and not allow emotions to control them. Usually that's a battle. Usually, and many times, too often, the emotions win and do the controlling instead of us controlling them and putting them in their place. See, emotions are part of our thinking. God gave them to us. He didn't make us non-feeling robots. Emotions are part of our thinking, and this plays out in life, in the way that you react to something done to you. If you think that it was done on purpose, you respond one way. If you think it was done on accident, you may respond in another way and respond differently if it was done on accident. So we need to start off, first of all, by finding out if anger is sin. So, some people tell us that anger is always sin. No matter what, get angry and you've just sinned. Those are those self-righteous kind that walk around, you know, their big phylacteries and their long robes, and those kind of people are just totally out of touch. And yet, they're going to tell you, no, you got angry, you sinned, you're in big trouble. But what's the Bible say? Because it doesn't matter what they say. What's the Bible say? Go back to where we had our scripture reading in Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at those two verses, first of all, verses 26 and 27. Now, some people say anger is always sin. Okay, well, Paul starts off, he says, be angry, do not sin. So obviously, anger is not sin yet. Okay, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone else in need. And so, when we see that Paul says, be angry but do not sin, Paul's not saying, here's a license. Take it and go out and get angry. Go ahead. Go get mad. It's not a license for people to go around getting angry at each other. Keep in mind that the Christian is also to be what? Self-controlled. We're to be self-controlled. Matter of fact, we know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. And this covers not just the area of anger, but every area of our lives. We are to live self-controlled lives. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul writes that he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, spirit in your life. So anger is a useful and a necessary reaction when it's used properly. When it's used properly. So when is it used properly? When she blows up because you left your dirty clothes laying around on a bathroom floor again? Or is it a proper time when you clam up because she burnt your supper again? Those are not proper uses for anger. Not at all. What is a proper use for anger? A proper use for anger is when there is injustice being done. When there's injustice being done. When there's sin being done and committed towards someone else. When there's wrong being done toward others and abuses and other things that are going on. Then anger is an appropriate thing. When others are taken advantage of, you get an anger in your spirit, similar to what Jesus did when he cleansed the temple, when he realized they were abusing the house of God for making it a den of thieves. And he went in there and he cleaned house. But even this has to be tempered properly, this type of anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, don't let it fester. Before you go to bed, deal with it. Do not go to sleep. Do not end the day when you're still angry. What Paul's saying here, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your irritation or the cause of your anger, even if it's a justifiable one. Even if you've done it in the proper way. Why? Why would he tell us that? Because anger can become resentment really easy. Anger becomes resentment very easily. That's why in your life, in your family, in your relationships, whether it's proper anger or improper anger, never let it stay past the end of the day. It needs to be dealt with. It needs something to be done with it. If you do let it go on, anger then becomes sin. That's when anger is sin, when you do not end it and you let it go on and on. And a whole host of other problems then become part of what's going on in your life and are created in your life and in your relationships, because these things don't just exist by themselves. They begin to cause trouble. So the longer this is allowed to go on, what happens? The more rooted and the deeper the problems become, and they begin to affect every area of your life. Every area of your life. That's why God, through the Holy Spirit, told Paul, write it down, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Paul made a distinction in this verse between sinful and righteous anger. Notice the first part of verse 26, where Paul was probably thinking about Psalm 4:4 when he wrote it. It talks about that fact of just making sure, he says, be angry and do not sin. Okay, how does righteous anger then become sinful? How does it go from righteous anger to sinful anger? It happens in two ways. First of all, when you give full vent to your anger, you just spew it out. And secondly, by internalizing it. by internalizing it. These are usually the responses an angry person uses. Either they blow up or they shut up, one or the other. Either it's just boom, everything is covered with it, or there's just silence. Both of those responses are wrong. Both of those responses are sinful, not to mention being very hurtful to those that are around you and to you yourself. You see, anger controls a lot of people. You may know someone like that who's controlled by anger, and the least little thing sets them off. Then you tiptoe around, you walk on eggshells, you do whatever you can, don't ruffle their feathers. Is that any way to live? Absolutely not. That's wrong. They're in the error, they're sinning, and they are needing to be dealt with. They need to be, it needs to be brought to their attention, and they, you say, well, I'm bringing it to their attention because they're going to get mad. Yeah, they might get mad, but we need to help them deal with this in a proper way. So an angry person is not walking in the Spirit. Can't walk in the Spirit and be angry at the same time like that, because we're commanded to walk in the Spirit. Because just before that, in Galatians, where Paul gives the fruit of the Spirit, he says, walk in the Spirit, in verse 16, you'll not satisfy the desires of the flesh. And sometimes the desire of the flesh can be anger, because you just want to get back at them because of what they did to you. And that's just a fleshly thing, and you want to do it. Well, you see, when you get angry and blow up, you're always aiming it at someone, always at someone else. But when you clam up and you keep it inside, you're actually aiming your anger at yourself. And it's aimed at you. And it's doing harm in you, bodily, physically, mentally, and emotionally. When that happens, is the problems that exist. What happens with anger is that there's an energy that's created and an energy that's wasted in harmful ways. You see, it stirs up reactions in your physical being as well as in other areas, in your emotions and in other ways. It stirs up reactions that go on. It stirs up those things that happen because anger creates energy. And you need to know what to do with this energy in a proper way, because there's an energy that's made there. Doctors from Coral Gables, Florida, compared the efficiency of the heart's pumping action in 18 men with coronary artery disease to 9 healthy men. Each of the study participants underwent 1 physical stress test, riding, exercise, bike, 3 mental stress tests, like doing math problems in their heads. Some people that wouldn't cause a problem at all. Me, that would drive me nuts, doing math in my head. If I don't have a calculator, I got big problems. You know, recalling recent incidents. They were told to recall recent incidents that made them very angry. And then having them give a short speech to defend themselves against a hypothetical charge of shoplifting. While using a sophisticated X-ray technique, the doctors took pictures of the subjects' hearts in action during these tests. For all the subjects, anger reduced the amount of blood that the heart pumped to the body tissues more than any other test. But it was especially true for those that already had heart disease. Why is anger so much more potent than fear or mental stress? Nobody knows. But until we do, there's a lot of things that come true to say, before you blow up. You ever hear somebody say, count to 10? Count to 10 before you blow up. Anger is a divinely implanted emotion, closely allied with our instinct for what's right. It's designed to be used for constructive spiritual purposes. You say anger? Yeah. Anger is to be used for constructive spiritual purposes. The person who can't feel anger at evil is a person who lacks enthusiasm for good. If you can't hate wrong, it's very questionable whether you really love righteousness. And so there's a balance, isn't there? There's a balance. When anger is aimed at others, or when it's aimed at yourself, you're using it destructively and in a way it wasn't intended for. The proper use of anger is this: use the energy created by anger to solve the problem. That's what we need to do with it. You use that energy to solve the problem. Get something done about it, as opposed to sitting back and doing nothing and complaining. Oh, those things are terrible. Oh, why do these do those? You see, anger says, let's do something about it. It's one thing to sit back and complain about abortion, but to have an anger over it, a righteous anger that says, let's do something about it, and you begin to create ways that you can go and help. Maybe it's volunteering at the pregnancy center. Maybe it's doing something else. Or if there's something else going on, the human trafficking makes us angry because of that. What can we do to help solve that problem in our area? When we see abuses going on around us, what can we as a church, how can we channel the energy from that anger to help and minister to those kinds of situations so that we see the violence that goes on, the domestic abuse that so often happens? What can we as a church do to offer solutions and help? We're angry at those things, but what do we do to solve them? You take that energy and you say, let's see what kind of ministry, how can we help? What can we do? But even then, at the end of the day, we go to bed, we give that anger to God and say, all right, we're going to do something about this. You may get up tomorrow and start being angry again at it because you know that the problem isn't solved and you haven't got done with your project. But then you do not take it to bed with you, even though it's just. And that's what we need to be doing, taking that energy from anger and solving the problems with it. And this is what usually isn't done. And that's what creates more problems when anger is misused. We don't take that energy. And there is energy. We don't take that energy and use it and expend that energy to solve problems, but it just sits there and begins to destroy things. You see, the biblical way is to use anger's energy to solve, not create, problems in life. When you get angry and blow up, you're always going to hurt someone. You're going to hurt some relationships. They're going to be damaged, and friendships can be lost. The problem is deepest, and when this happens, it usually involves spouses, family members, and people close to you. And that's the problem. These people that are in your family, these people that are close friends, especially family, though, they're with you for life. They're your life family. That's your family. And to damage them is to create serious problems because you think you got a right to be ticked off. Nobody has a right to be ticked off except God. He has a right to be ticked off at us because of what we've done with everything that he's given to us and everything. We have no right to be angry. Marriages, interpersonal relationships within the family become damaged. Hurts grow. Separations and relationships begin to happen. And the devil sits there and laughs because he said, I won in that situation. And that's what happens when we give in to anger. You have been used. You've been taken advantage of. And the enemy laughs at you. And he laughs. When you blow up with anger, you can only harm yourself. The enemy laughs. They've fallen into the trap. Physically as well as emotionally, these things that anger does inside us, not a pretty picture. Blood pressure, heart rate, other things go on. You know, the same is true for the person who clams up. I just don't want to talk to anybody. Well, really? That's a wrong use. You don't have that right. And it releases that energy in them. And they may not even realize what's happening, but that energy is beginning to do its work there. This person injures himself. They are irritable. They're tense. They're miserable, often depressed, down, as well as hurting those around them with this attitude. They're hurting themselves, and the devil laughs because God's not honored by that. This attitude drives wedges between loved ones, and it drives wedges between associates. Husbands and wives can be driven apart. Parents with their children can be driven apart. And it causes damage in so many ways and in so many relationships. So what are we supposed to do with all this energy that anger creates? Like I said, we use it to solve the problems. in our secular world, and sadly, even in Christian counseling, and Christian counseling and biblical counseling are not the same thing. Christian counseling, this is, you just might as well throw it out because it's going to accomplish the same thing as secular counseling. There isn't much. Biblical counseling brings change. Biblical counseling brings God into the situation. It gets the answers His way so that we do it His way. And these people are being pushed to dangerous solutions. Some people say that you should just vent it. They tell you, oh, go ahead and blow up, kick, scream, punch something, not someone, just punch something and get it out. If you've ever had anger and done that, you know it doesn't work. I tried that once on a cow that I was scraping the lot from, and that crazy thing kept dumping and kicking my pile over. I got off that tractor and I reared back and I slugged that bugger in the snout. I shouldn't tell you that. Say, you did that? I slugged that thing and it got so hard and I broke my wrist. Try milking cows in a parlor with a broken wrist. Yeah, it's a cow puncher. That was an inappropriate use of anger. That energy was built up and I got sick and tired of that thing. And, you know, the cow bellowed and that was about it. Then turned around and probably laughed at me. But you see, that approach is totally against Scripture. You can't do that, or you shouldn't do that. God explicitly tells us in His Word that that's an inappropriate response. If you look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. That day I got down off that tractor, I was a fool. And maybe you've done similar things. The Bible says you're a fool when you do that. Some people say, well, I just can't control my anger. That's a false statement. That's a false statement that the enemy lies to you about. I can't control my anger almost all the time, and we believe that lie. Well, picture this. We use a mother, for example, blowing up at a child after so many rounds and rounds. Or maybe it's two spouses going at one another, whatever, venting all types of anger, and the doorbell rings, or the phone rings. Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden you're calm? And you answer that phone like there's nothing wrong. Or you go to the door and answer the doorbell. Oh, hi, how are you? It was a wonderful day. Oh, you can't control your anger? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Why would we want to embarrass ourselves in front of somebody on the phone or at the door with all that anger? But we just proved to ourselves you can control your anger. You see, anger allowed to be expressed in an undisciplined way, venting whatever comes to mind, saying what shouldn't be said without counting the cost, maybe counting to 10. Maybe in that, we're offering up an arrow prayer if you don't want to count to 10. Lord God, I'm angry and I'm about ready to do something I should. Give me grace. And quieting yourself without hearing the whole story is often dead wrong. And a lot of times we're already angry before we hear the whole story. And so we have these issues. Proverbs has a lot to say about this. I want to look at a few more. Proverbs chapter 14 and verses 17 and 29. Proverbs 14, verse 17 says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man who schemes is hated. Verse 29, a patient person shows great understanding, but a quick-tempered one promotes foolishness. And then in chapter 19, verse 11, a person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. Not to get angry, but to realize it gives you patience. And then in Proverbs 25 and in verse 28, Proverbs 25, verse 28, Solomon says, a man who does not control his temper is like a city whose wall is broken down. Now, a broken wall of a city don't mean much to us. But back then, a broken wall in a city meant you were defenseless. I mean, there's a breach. Enemy can come right through that broken wall. And so it's just like your life. You've broken a wall down, and the enemy can come crashing in and do his damage in and through your life. And then in that 29th chapter of Proverbs, verse 20, do you see a man who speaks too soon? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Verse 22, an angry man stirs up conflict, but a hot-tempered man increases rebellion. And so we see these things going on. Excuse me. And they happen all the time. That's why James writes to us. And he says in the first chapter of James, hopefully we can finish here. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, James says, my dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For a man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. And that's talking about the wrong kind of anger. It does not accomplish God's good. So one thing to keep in mind that is learned from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Anger is to be dealt with daily. Daily. Never to be carried over so that it can fester and grow. See, the opposite is also true. Anger is just as wrong when you keep it in, when you hold it in. Doing this is really lying to yourself, which in turn violates Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, where Paul says, since you put away lying. That means lying to yourself as well as lying to someone else. Speak the truth to each one, to his neighbor. Speak the truth to yourself. Biblical truth is what's needed. The person who keeps anger in, the person who clams up without talking about it, not talking to you, not going to talk about it, not going to talk to you, just clams up. That can lead to bitterness, and it will lead to bitterness. It will lead to resentment in your life. Whether you want it or not, it's going to happen. This bitterness is going to eat you up. It's going to harm you physically and emotionally and spiritually. It's going to drive wedges between you and other people. And again, the problem is usually, not always, the problem is usually a spouse, a family member, that brings even more problems into the situation because they're closest to the situations. We all know people who do one or the other. They blow up or they clam up. And maybe you're guilty of doing it, one or the other or both. One gets angry and the family runs for cover. Or one gets mad, doesn't speak for days. What's wrong with so-and-so? They can't talk anymore? Guess not. Well, they're just mad. Oh, really? They just violated the scriptures and they're full of sin. And it needs to be dealt with because they can't grow. They can't move forward. Some do it occasionally. Others seem to be angry all the time. In either case, God says, do not let the sun go down on your angry attitude. That's a command. You don't have a choice. Deal with it daily. Don't let it carry over to another day. It needs to be forgiven. Forgiveness needs to be sought. When anger is held in, communication usually stops. Nothing can be solved. So, this can happen in a home. It can happen with people at work. It can happen at school. It can happen at church. When anger isn't dealt with biblically, problems will occur. Notice what Paul says in that 27th verse of Ephesians chapter 4. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not give the devil an opportunity. The New Living Translation says, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And this is so true. Here you are trying to live for Christ. Anger becomes an issue. You don't limit it to that day, so you let it go on what you've done, as you've given an opportunity or a foothold to the enemy of your soul. Not only does he laugh at you, but now he has a right to a certain part that you've just given. We need to be on our guard because we've given ground. You let the enemy of your soul have a room. You've given him a foothold. You've given him a space to destroy you, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your family, your life, all because you want to harbor anger because you feel like you've got a right to do so. You have given that ground up. The word opportunity actually is the Greek word topos, and it means a place, means a room that you've marked off in an area that he can now live in because you've given it to him. The problem is it's in the middle usually of your marriage or your family or in some close relationship. No matter the problem, if it's not solved, the enemy then is invited right in to make his abode, and you can't solve the problem now in your relationship because you've allowed that to happen. So many marriages end in divorce. Instead of seeing the problem, solving it, family problems exist. Estrangement takes place in many relationships because we're not dealing with it biblically. Friendships are ruined. Family problems are caused. Well, because we didn't do it God's way. This is the choice that we need to make. If you're going to do it God's way, we're going to say, it will not go on beyond today. It will be dealt with. If it's righteous anger, I'll use that energy to create a solution, not a problem. If it's not righteous anger, it is sin. It's got to be confessed. It's got to be forgiven. You have to forgive yourself, but you have to go and ask forgiveness for those that you've offended. We saw that in the last 2 weeks when we dealt with forgiveness, and you need to do it God's way. And so the next time we get, next week is communion, so we're going to skip a week, but we're going to come back and see how do we handle anger biblically. What are we supposed to do? But in the meantime, you can start today. If anger has been a problem, you need to repent of it. You need to give it to God. You need to seek the power of the Holy Spirit to help you. Someone said, of the seven deadly sins, anger is probably the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue to the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you're giving back. In many ways, it's the feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that you are wolfing down yourself, and the skeleton at the feast is you. And that's so true. Don't let pride keep you back. Humble yourself. Seek his help. Get rid of the anger. That's not righteous. And even if it is, don't let the sun go down on it. And then, Lord willing, we'll see how we're supposed to do all those things. Father, you've given us our emotions. You've given us those things that we need. But you've also told us that there's controls. We're not just free to do what we want, when we want, how we want. But we have to do things your way. And I pray that you would help us to be committed to that. That we would not allow the enemy to have a foothold at all. And that if we have done that, that we would ask you, and we would take 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6, and put that into practice, where the enemy is to be bound and cast out, the ground taken back, the surrendered ground that we've done, so that we're able to stand firm for you and move forward and progress in our Christian walk. Help us to do that to your glory and to your honor, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.